God has this way of ministering to me over the years that you can have a seat, Dieter, pull one of the seats, that I had to define or discover. I discovered many years when I need some information or when he's trying to promote me in the spirit. He'll send somebody with a book out just from out of nowhere. And he uses my wife more than any other person in the vast library that I have. Sometimes she'll just pull a book out and sometimes seem like accidentally set it in my way, put it in my seat where I sit, we have a room we sit together, or she'll put it on a table almost unintentionally, but yet it becomes so fruitful, it's frightening. It's another dimension that God wants us to know about. And that dimension is, we've made it very simple. We've made it like we have eaten the best part of it. And so therefore it does not strike us as an ongoing way to deny this world, this world system, and the system of Satan to rule or reign over us or restrict us, cause us not to be able to get to what we see. A lot of times we see things in the scriptures, we hear things in the spirit, but it doesn't seem like we can get to them. We get sprinkles of it, but the vastness of what we see and the vastness of what we hear, the unlimited provision, and we're not just talking about stuff, but life, the unlimited life that God has provided. Here we are with a Bible, with a song, with a sermon, with praise, with worship, with a heart desiring to know God more intimately. But yet it seems like there's something refusing us to let us go as far as we desire to go. It seems like there's a restriction and I guess it's a restriction on revelation that we would not see the manifestation that the Lord is talking about. Now, I'll give you one example. When Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing, Jesus' ministry start off with this statement, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He closed his ministry teaching things pertaining to the kingdom for 40 days. Things pertaining to the kingdom. The Holy Ghost in Acts 1:8 came after Jesus taught him 40 days before he left things pertaining to the kingdom. The Holy Ghost operation is a kingdom operation that can manifest through a believer in the world, unlimited. We have become so religious inclined trying to please God by what we say, what we do. We are so busy, note this, fighting what we don't want to do. And the harder you fight, the more you're going to attract. So what you have to do now is concentrate on what you want to do. And what you want to do, let me go back to Jesus. Because I don't know what direction you're taking me. Jesus was the kingdom of God incarnated. And what he would do is, when you see him doing something, he looked into the invisible world, see what God is doing, and he did the same thing. When the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it's telling us to look into the invisible world, every answer, every possibility, every victory, every overcoming, every amount, unlimited, every dream, every desire is already there, but it's by you being able to look into that kingdom, the kingdom of God, because you have the Spirit of God, and see a principle, or see what the Father say, or see what Jesus say, how that go. And the kingdom of God is present now, but because of our religious status and going to church and singing songs and listening to sermons and clapping our hand and running, we have not really realized that the solution for everything is already here, but it's an invisible solution that by faith we should pick up if we're looking for it. So the kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom in operation with principles that we can live by now and make everything that is impossible possible. I read when the disciple was on the ship and Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So they were on a kingdom mission, wasn't it? When that storm came up by them looking into the wrong world, they became fearful and they become frightened and they panicked. When they woke Jesus up, Jesus wasn't looking at the storm. He looked to see what the Father said. The Father told him what to say, so he just said it, and the storm obeyed him. Each thing in your life, you can make that type of withdrawal if you recognize that it's invisible. That's why the Lord said he can't do nothing without faith, because faith make us operate by a world we can't see. But when we operate by that world, if we can't see, something manifest that was impossible. So actually, at large, apostolically, I'm seeing the church is operating visible. And she don't understand. Every now and then we have a dream, somebody have a little travel, or have something. But on everyday basis, that's why he says, seek ye first the invisible world, and everything will be added to you, because he know you have, when you were born into his kingdom, that kingdom was born in you. So he know you have a right to see something the average religious, many Christians will never see. Jesus gave us his secret. I'm doing this because I'm looking and I'm seeing what my Father do. So now we got the same, for lack of a better word, to put a picture show. If we know what we're doing, we could look and see exact for every situation. Everything right now, everything everyone else dealing with, we can look in an invisible world and there's a movie plan that has principles and direction exactly for you how to change it to be exactly like he wanted to be. For instance, when Elijah's servant was nervous because they were surrounded by the enemy. And Elisha was looking into another world. He saw in the realm of the invisible that those who were surrounding them were surrounded. And so he was at peace. So then he asked the Lord, said, this man not seeing what I'm seeing. And that's why I'm afraid sometimes you are not seeing what I see. See? So I had to make it more intricate to you. This is not what I'm going to minister Wednesday night. This is something else that came up after that. Wednesday night, I got another thing to minister to you that came up earlier this morning that is just infinitum. But that story was given us with the prophet outnumbered in one world. But he wasn't looking in that world. So if you think you outnumbered, you're overpowered. And I'm not using this word just to be used. It. I was talking to a man about this just now, and the power of God knocked the hell out of him. I mean, no, actually, knocked the hell out of him. He fell. Young man, 33 years old, fell right in front of me, and I'm going to throw up. Demon came out, and I ain't even called him out. Fell down on the ground. I mean, talking is strong to me, and all of a sudden he said, and fell on. I told him about that invisible world and how he's trying to get his life right. He's trying to go to church. He's trying to do what's right. And he's making all his effort, but he still don't know how to tap into what Jesus has been trying to show. See, the kingdom of God is a real kingdom. Let me go over this with you again. Jesus began to say in his ministry, the first thing he said, John the Baptist had said it. But Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. All right. Then he do all his ministry from that invisible world with all kind of manifestation. You know, you read the miracles he did. He was doing it from the invisible world. And what he was doing is setting an example of how a man or woman can operate who know about that kingdom that is in him. Closed his ministry. If you read in Act 1, he closed his ministry. I'm repeating it, but he closed his ministry for 40 days teaching his disciples how to operate in this invisible world of the kingdom. Then he gave them the power of the Holy Ghost to do it. So in reading the book, this book been a book 37 years old, and a lot of time you can read a book I'm reading, but you're not going to see what I see. The kingdom of God was at the heart of the Lord's work is obvious, and furthermore, he spoke of it as existing then and now, not to arrive in some far distant time and place. The kingdom of God is in our midst. All right? Said Jesus has spoken quite precisely about how this kingdom work. He actually laid down specific principles so sweeping that it might be better considered as laws, or so laws of the kingdom. All right. Just read some little phrases and see what we cry out for solutions to problems too big for us. Our government are on the verge of collapse. Our finance is chaotic. Our atmosphere polluted. Our population too massive that millions starve. Then it says, fear reign. That's in the visible world. That's the world we see. That was going on. See, we in talking about economic disaster. And the tailspin in morality. Morality is just gone. People just doing what they want to do. Fortunately, now you talk about the invisible world. Fortunately, a voice speaks steadily and clearly into the turmoil and dread of the day. A voice that contradicts our finitude and limitation and restriction. You heard that? It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He point immediately established a fact that the world has in large measure refused to consider the fact that an invisible world undergird, surround, interpenetrate the visible world in which we live. Indeed, it controls the visible world. And here's why. For it is unrestricted, unlimited, and infinite. So Jesus said, the kingdom is here, and I have come to open it to you and show you how it works. It talks about Samuel had to for the kingdom of Israel. It says, his pattern recalled the days following the anointing of Saul as Israel's first king when it became necessary for the prophet Samuel to teach how things should work. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. Jesus did much the same, teaching his follower the manner of the kingdom, but leaving it to others to put it in writing. And that's 1 Samuel 10:25. Matthew 4:17. It says here, I wrote a note, stop being limited by the ways of the world. Activate the principles of the kingdom of God. reach, we have the ability to reach in the invisible and apply it to the visible. And he said, that's when he said, for all things are possible with God. We read that, okay. So these possibilities and these wonderful scriptures we have not been kingdom of God minded enough. Instead of looking into the kingdom, we're looking into the scripture. And the scriptures is trying to get us to see what Jesus was seeing in the kingdom. So that's a delay. Even though you got the scripture on it, but it's not manifesting. Now we can understand what Jesus said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have your answer, but they testify of me and how I'm operating. See, so every scripture we read, when we think we have a revelation, we must not base in the revelation, now we must base in the realization of the kingdom. See, you must understand, listen, your life victories is a kingdom matter. And unless you see in the other realm, and it's nothing complicated because you designed to see in that realm, if you take time and not let this world or the satanic world control you. And as long as you can't look in that kingdom, you're going to be controlled by some habit or some setup because you're not going to have the power where you can restrict this thing and stop it. So he says, Almighty God, the unlimited world of Jesus, the unlimited world of Jesus. You know, the church is not living into the unlimited world of Jesus. First of all, the apostles and the prophet haven't been in that place, so now the people in disorder because the ministry gift out there being popular, building, going behind money, popularity, who's the best speaker, who's the best dresser, who got the nicest car, who the biggest minister. And so you got all that going on, and that's the show-off church that Satan loved for us to never get into the power of what we really supposed to be. So you got us. All right, Almighty God has been warning for a thousand of years that because of our foolishness, we will face crisis. We're face to face with nuclear terror, massive energy shortage, unsolvable economic crisis, disability, moral bankruptcy, and other impossible difficulties. But Jesus, now this is what he said, but Jesus explained that we are limited in our own ability to cope with such problems only because we insist on living according to the ways of a world that is limited. In effect, he said, that's what he says, that need not remain an unlimited world surrounds you. You are finite, it is infinite. You are mortal, it is immortal. You are filled with impossibility, it is filled with possibility. I said this earlier to you, but I'm going to say it to you now so you understand it. Then there was a statement, wow, there was a statement I'm about to give you now, and I wanted to hit your life. We're at different stages in life in this room. And that statement, it's had such an impact on me, it almost knocked me out. After reading you of Finite and talking about this other world that need not to remain, that there's an unlimited world around you, you are finite, it is infinite, you are mortal, it is immortal, you are filled with impossibility, it is filled with possibility. And then there's a statement made that need not remain so. Anything in your life, like Barbara grandbaby, my grandbaby, or anything else we have in our life in this room, that need not remain so. Wow. Man, when I saw that, it don't need to. If we take the teaching of the kingdom and stop just looking in scriptures and in prayer only, are to lead us to seeing the answer, already answered, in the kingdom. The young man, 34, says, I'm suffering for anxiety. Anxiety. I said, because you're trying to be religious. You know, I met a man, 73, and he's 73 years old because of the way he talked. I was riding my golf cart, and he said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, how you doing? He said, well, you know. And that's when you got to have something. He says, you finally ain't going to deteriorate, you know, he said. I said, and I tried to talk to him a minute, just a minute. Then I backed off. He didn't have ears to hear. So he's got the old age concept. So he's actually ossifying as he speaks. Everything getting sluggish because he's calling it in. He's attracted to him by the old age condition of getting old and not living long and healthy. That's one of the problems, see. Now listen very carefully what I'm about to say now. The invisible world of his father was Jesus' world throughout his incarnation. So as long as Jesus was here, the invisible world of his father was Jesus' world throughout his incarnation. So the invisible world of the Father should be our world during our incarnation. While we're in this fleshly tabernacle, we should be able to live in that invisible world by tapping into it. So all the things Jesus did, he did it from that invisible world. That's why he said, I see what you don't see. So he said when they rushed up to wake Jesus when that storm came, you know, we have storm coming out a lot. He said they had failed to see into the invisible world where there were no impediments to the Lord's mission. And they had allowed themselves to be limited by world condition. Here we are. Limited. See, this that apostolic anointing coming out in where the church should be. See, you heard what he said? They had fear on the ship, the wind blowing, the water getting in the boat. Said they had fear to see the invisible world. So every time you don't get what you asked for, you have failed to see the invisible world. So you just keep on praying. Keep on asking. Keep on searching for scripture. See? They had refused on the ship now, they're all nervous, right? Water coming in, storm. They had refused to reach into the world of the possible. So he says, and I'm not reading it all, one cannot help but wonder about his frustration as his followers seem so impotent to overcome the visible world today. Impotent means you can't produce. And it's a frustration to the Lord. That somebody in the church or some leaders in the church don't see this thing. What's happening to the father's children is they trying to operate in the world with limited sight as the world. All right? So he said, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, he takes it to contain one of the Lord's most compact yet most comprehensive teaching about how to manifest the power of the visible world in the visible today. All right, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he was symbolically addressing a religious system that was often outwardly showy, and in worldly fruitless. He said, let me read this to you. Jesus said to stay for teaching when on the way with his disciples to the temple to deal with the mockery practiced there was under the guise of worship. He walked up to a fig tree in leaf, examined it for fruit, found none, and said, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. We must understand immediately that Jesus was not being capricious or petulant. He didn't simply lose his temper. The fig tree, as is so often the case in scripture, symbolized Israel in biblical time. And when he cursed it, he was symbolically addressing a religious system that was awfully outwardly showy and inwardly fruitless. And from that four words bust out the invisible world. Here they are. These four worlds bust through the frontier of heaven, land by the invisible world. There's four words that will always lay the invisible world bare for you to receive what you want from it. The four words is in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. That's where they boys from. They boys from Jesus operating right in front of them disciples, made something happen that couldn't actually happen, but he did it same way with the stone. When he spoke to that stone, he wasn't speaking as a man. He saw what the Father said. Father said, just talk to it. But we take scriptures and try to talk to it before the scripture has spoken to us, and it come back void most of the time. We get a little sprinkled, but we don't get what we should get, the shake. We're always supposed to be shaking this visible world up. Whatever we do, we're supposed to be shaking it up. Whatever happened in our life, supposed to shake up the visible world, supposed to shake up religious folks, religious pastors. I mean, just shake them up. I don't care how big they think they are. Jesus shook them up. Don't care how many it was. He always shook them up because he always was operating at another dimension, which it was an example for the people of God. Catherine Kuhlman often said during her powerful ministry, I sometimes think we're too familiar with God. That's what she said. Here's a thought. We are to see with him, think with him, as Jesus did, so that we can say along with Jesus that we do only what we see the Father doing. You got to. When Jesus said, true, true, I said, whoever said his mountain be taken up and cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that the whole thing what he said is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things from what you pray and I believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. Now, in short, Jesus told the disciples that if they truly had faith in God, believed in his absolute sovereignty and mighty power, and enter into league with him, they would become participant in the same energy and power that prevailed at the creation. Now he told us too. They would work as God works, be fellow workers with him. In the words of Paul, yes, Jesus said, there's an invisible world, but we can see into it and touch it here now. God works. He wants us to work. Man, it's so powerful, I tell you. It's just another world. Here he used the term, oh my goodness. He used the term whosoever, whatsoever, or some other sweeping generalization. We should be especially alert. He's probably declaring a truth that will apply in every situation, in every part of the world, in every time. So when you're reading that, when he said, whatsoever, you stop. Whosoever. It's words he used. Once we perceive this secret, we realize anew that the Bible is not an impractical book of theology, but rather a practical book of life containing a system of thought and conduct that will guarantee success. And it will be true success, true happiness, true prosperity, not the fleeting, flashy, inconsistent success the world used to sell it for. So when he says, seek the kingdom, understand the way it works, and then as day follows night, as spring follows winter, the evidence of earthly success will follow you. Let me read that again. But you shouldn't spend all your time and concentration seeking those things, he said, in effect. Seek the kingdom, understand the way it works, and then as day follows night, and as spring follows winter, the evidences of the earthly success will follow you. If we press this through to its logical conclusion, possibilities for life are raised up that we long ago related to the musty, unused portion of our Bible, thinking of them as those promises made for a future time, referred to as the millennium. And we are seeking or reaching into that kingdom and letting it principle govern us right now. His purpose is that his people know him and learn how his secret kingdom functions. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We just not seeing it like we should. And I got to get it out to the body of Christ. But can you see what we're saying now? You know, we get locked up on how to get healed, how to have a miracle, how to have plenty of money, and all this kind of stuff. And it's all there. But we find ourselves, we've learned to pray real hard, stay real long. Sometimes Jesus prayed all night, sometimes Jesus prayed a few moments, went on about his business. So he just got the answer that quick. He just tapped into the Father. We've been taught about so many things, and haven't really been taught about what Jesus taught us about. All other stuff was things pertaining to the kingdom. The kingdom is the man subject that me being a spirit being that is born again, I can see if I ask and seek wisdom, I can see my answer in that other world. And then I can step into it. You all know we pray too long about one thing. And we talk about how powerful God is, you know. But we show little result from all that power. I'm going to finish reading this book. It's an old book by Pat Robertson, of all people. And it's The Secret of the Kingdom. It's probably been sitting in my library. They wrote it in 1982. It's copyright 1982. How many years that is? Huh? 34 years. And God had it sitting there all the time. He wanted me to see it at a certain time. That's why I say, you know, it may be good to try to grab every book I have, but a lot of y'all ain't ready for it because, you know, I mean, it's not going to make no sense to you until you have to come to a lot of traffic in the spirit to get to a certain place. That's why, see now, Pat Robertson, I never followed his ministry, but I'm trying to find out every book he got now. Barbara Tate, that's where I am. See, because there's an element called love that is unconditional, and you can accept people that you don't approve of some of the things they say or do. Okay? You won't be able to do it without love, because if anyone speak awkward to what you think they should be speaking, you make them your enemy. Watch this now. In about five categories about love, one of the categories is love your enemy. That's one of your categories. And you're not going to be able to love your enemy unless you know how much God loves you. And then you're not going to be able to love God, your neighbor, or your enemy unless you love yourself. And so that's some of the things I'm going to talk about Wednesday night. It will destroy chain. Many chains that is on people's life will be destroyed Wednesday night. You know, he hit me with two things at the same time, this love transaction, and he hit me with this kingdom, because I'm always searching. But I thank God, because y'all sit here, you know, and y'all being obedient, and you may not know how real this is, but God's system, see, the Holy Spirit, once something is mentioned in your presence, that Holy Spirit part, he'll nudge you. He said, he'll tell you something else. He'll tell you, you know, if you open, he'll tell you, look at this. And he'll tell you, oh, why that haven't showed up yet? Oh, why you fail at that? Why are you not more successful now? What's the matter with you? And the answer's going to be, you're looking in the wrong world. See, people pray and stay down here with their prayer. And the Lord is doing the best he can. The Lord loves us so much. Any little thing we say right, the Lord said, give it to him. Any little thing. I mean, you stumble upon something, the Lord said, yeah, that's her, that's him. Give it to him. And me too. But it's so much more. We have in church. We don't love God like we should. Because you never love somebody for nothing. When you understand his vastness and your connection properly, you'll love him more, and by loving him more, you'll seek his face more. You'll seek the Lord, you'll seek his strength, and you'll seek his face more. Basically, what we're going to is routine scripture reading to appease our little heart if we did talk to God. And I got to memorize scripture. That's what we do. And I've talked with him 20 minutes. Just so excited. 20 minutes. But yet you come out the same. You praying about the same thing Tuesday next week that you prayed about Wednesday last week. What is that? So you're not really having an adventure. You're just on a journey trying to get somewhere. The adventure is I'm going somewhere, but he's showing me something different all the time. So when I get there, I got somewhere else to go. See, I copped this 43 years ago. I still look at people. I say, they don't understand me. They don't understand why I'm like I am. It's because I've been seen in an invisible world. But very few times I could talk to people who understand what you're saying. Now, because of Barbara and John, been seeking the word a long time. You can talk to them and catch it quicker. But you talk to somebody. I talked to Eugene Brown, and he said he answered me, but he really can't because they can't grasp because he hasn't put enough time in it. And so there's only a few people you can talk with. You talk to these yes people. They're just saying yes because they might know the chapter and the verse, but they've never been up there. They never brought it down here. That's where money coming came from. Money coming came from the invisible world. People seeing it as an English dialect. They don't even realize that it has the power. I mean, what? Where all this money coming from? Huh? It's coming from out the other world orders. And the Lord is trying to show us how to do it so we can get over this money thing and go on, and this monkey business almost, go on and do what he wants us to do. Why we got to always be approaching God for something? Lord, help me with that. Lord, help me with that. It's because we keep cycling on earth and never let the kingdom manifest. And that's the church at large. I mean a high percentage of the church. Some churches y'all think are real big and real powerful. And you know, you almost, with the element of love, you almost don't want to say something. Like I was talking about Bob and Jill. I didn't want to say, well, why do we need to talk about that? But it's so disgusting and frustrating that people don't recognize a gift or recognize. You just walk away. You know, I don't, undoubtedly they wasn't seeing what I was saying. They must have saw me. You know what I'm saying? How can you just, you don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. The next statement I'm going to make, it might change your whole family, your whole life, your whole body, the length of your years. I mean, if I'm speaking out of another world, see? And so people just want you a preacher. You see? And it, beautiful scripture, beautiful outline, but is it really there? Can it go beyond your emotion? Do it grab you next week? Do it become a part of your life? Or have you followed with the rest of it? See, a lot of stuff we've put on file. We're excited about it. But it just wasting space because it haven't produced nothing. Made us feel good, but didn't change our lives. You follow what I'm saying? So that pivotal voice, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things to be added to you. Could it be we've been looking in the wrong place? Is it because of your age is too early? Stupid. Is it because of my age, per se, is too late? Stupid. Because we're ageless. You have to have the revelation of forever in this life right now. You didn't get it. You have to have the revelation of forever now. Now, you have to have the revelation of forever right now. In other words, you live this life long and strong, long as you want, and you just step on in eternity. But you have to have the revelation of forever right now. See? So I'm living in, and you living in, everlasting life now. So let me close. The way the Lord made us, and when the Lord did this, the Lord worked with me like this. The Lord happened to meet a man like Tim Morrow. And they're talking about your blood is replaced in 90 days, and you have new cells in 12 months, and your organs are new. And then the Lord teaches me why people get sick and old. Because they don't understand that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Lord is constantly putting them perpetual renewal, perpetual youth, perpetual repair, perpetual reconstruction. And they are ossifying and getting old and sluggish because they got an old habit condition of heredity. The man talking about heredity this morning, I just skipped it. Heredity, time, calendar clock. So nobody living in the now. So what happened? Life sneak up on you and put something on you because you wasn't watching. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:34? Take no thought tomorrow, for sufficient is the day of evil. So we got to live in the now. If you live in the now, you can't think old. And so Satan can't fool you with how he fooled these people. Now, this man don't know much as I would like for him to know. Now, he know a lot of things. He's been around me a long time. See, Ray followed Usher. People say he pestered him, but he just being young. He's just being alive. But he won't talk old. He 83, 84, might be older than that. But you ask him, he said, because you're my pastor, I'll tell you. Then he said, I'm 84 or 83 young. But he think young. Now, he don't know half of what I'm teaching you, but it's certain people God just let see in. And he probably couldn't explain it. I could explain it, but he probably couldn't explain it. He probably don't know what he's doing, but because of his mindset is not to think old and to think happen, to jump around all the time, those cells are acting like medicine doctors and nurses. And he take medicine probably, take some medicine, but still he got this vigor about him that he's not going to let you talk to him. You can't even see him as an old man. Too much life. On the other hand, a fella just sat around, like the man I met in the morning, Well, man, we're not going to be here forever. That's when I matched up myself. I said, okay. I got to get around the corner on this man. And this man, yeah, man, he's 73. But he ain't going to make it much longer. Because he started telling me all the disabilities he had. Now, Lord, what am I going to do with this? And so I tried to turn it, but I couldn't turn it. Spiritual ignorance is the worst ignorance that you can have in your life. And a percentage of the body of Christ, I know it's hitting the 80 or 90%. There's so much spiritual ignorance. And it's because, remember the scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It says right after that, because the priest rejected knowledge. See, now I see the priest. I've seen so many men and women in my lifetime rejected knowledge. One reason is because it didn't come from them. Secondly, because they didn't understand it. Thirdly, because they believed they got the same thing because they know the same scriptures. And it's a whole different ballgame.
Make a mistake. So there's a cleansing. I believe in a consecration here and a sanctification here that will make you love this life more than anything else. Once you fall in love with him and the life he provided for you, you'll be like Jesus. You'll avoid and you will abort things that will cause you to be separated. To a certain degree. The value of your life will become more important than what the other world are offering. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, Moses refused to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So that tells sin is pleasurable to the flesh. But it also tells us that just for a season, and if it's not corrected or directed, it will destroy you. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, another aspect of being to bring this thing to a total realization is that all your problems are orchestrated in your soul. Mm-hmm. The emotion, your feeling, your conscience, your imagination, because your soul has such a jurisdiction on your life, but it has to be appropriated by faith, by renewal. That's why Jesus said, be not conformed to this world. Then he said, be ye transformed Now he's talking about transformation, you can operate in that invisible world. Mm-hmm. That you may prove, watch what he said, that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, that means that if you renew your mind, you are renewing your soul. Now your soul, listen, is the transfer switch from that invisible world. It's the Holy Spirit. Your recreated spirit is alive to the Holy Spirit, but to get it through to your body or get it to manifest what the invisible world have to offer, that soul will have to connect and come in agreement with your spirit. My soul quite well knows. Without which one you probably be in hell, even as your soul prospers. So the soul can either be on or off. And most of the time it's off. According to how many flashing minutes a day you give to the Lord in your thoughts. Either a flashing minute, or I'm going to use a word I don't know if you can handle, or a frontish minute, a minute to act right. You're all right with me. I read in the red tree scripture. It never came alive. It never came alive. You didn't let it come alive. Why? You settle for routine to take the place of revelation. So you didn't stay with it long enough. You read it, but you never let it read you. And so you return to Deidre. Return back home. After you read, you return right back like you was last month. Nothing ever happened. It's more dangerous than a man who knows he don't have it. But who think they have it, they are more closed than a sinner. But the sinner do know he don't have it. You see the trick being pulled on you? And Jesus said, who loses life of my sake shall gain it. Now, that word lose, we don't like it. We don't like a losing word. But he was talking about gain. So he's just talking backwards. Who lose what this world has to offer that seemed like it's so good, they will gain what I have to offer from the invisible world that would just wipe this stuff out. And I'm going to tell y'all, because y'all close to me. See, y'all back, people have this concept, oh, I just had enough money. Everybody thinks, if I just had enough money, you know, I'll quit this job, I'll do something else, just sit around. See, you have to see, even this job here, you have to see it as a ministry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That if I had $2 million, I wouldn't quit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm exposed to things that I'm doing, I'm about to follow the business.
Yes, sir.
You know, I can see a man have an old secular job, and act like he's a slave and all that, you know. So those two values, love of God and the kingdom of God, those two values, you need to put a lot of value on when you read the scripture. And I think it would implant in you. You really don't have to try to live right. It's just in you. You know what I'm saying? Don't care if temptations do come. You don't have to go with it.
Yes.
See, sir. But that physical body or that unchanged soul will associate with what the world has to offer. Okay. But there's enough quickening power in you to change it before it happens.
Yes, sir.
Remember you say give the meaning of escape?
Yes, sir.
Remember you talk about
you're partakers of the divine nature and have escaped the lust that's in this world. Mm-hmm. That's because that new life is in you that can contact the other world that's more powerful than this world, what this world got to offer. Mm-hmm. So all temptation should be temporary, mm-hmm. but never delivered. Mm-hmm. So don't cop out because you have a temptation. That just means you're still alive. But you don't have to. It gets less and less and less as you get farther and farther over the other world because you see faster.
Yes, sir.
I know what that is. Mm-hmm. So you know how to stir yourself better. But it's progress is progressive. You know, it's pursuable. You have to pursue it. Okay? And always remember, now I talk in levels all the time, you always remember, you pack it.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Packing. See, now that was the street, it's already packing the gun. But y'all remember you're packing a life that cannot be denied. No kingdom fruit. It'll produce every time. It's the better life, children. It's the better life. It's, you know, I came in this at a calendar age of about 24, 25. Okay? And I never look back. And I'm the same today as I was 47 years ago when I came into it. I went in and I dived in the whole thing. And I ran with all kinds of things. But it seemed like that life, because of hot pursuit, even in my moments of ignorance, stirred me another way. You see, you say, well, look, do you ever have any down there? No, I don't admit it.
Yes, sir.
I have feeling, loneliness, but you got to have that part of the deal. That's what Jesus had that too. You're not running with the crowd. Mm-hmm. So everybody not blowing their horn on you, baby. And everybody not stopping to see about you. Because they don't want to hear what you got to say. They want to hear the flirting things of the moment. And feel the dust of this world. Coming on their system. They love it. They love funky jokes and foggy sand that make them feel so good. They laugh and fall out of their chair. And they think they're living. And that's a setup by the enemy. Because right after the funky joke, he's going to make you a funky offer that you're not going to be able to refuse because you permit yourself to get funky within your mind. That's the way it works. I'm telling you right now, man, I'm telling you, thank God for technology. We use it all the time. Moving on, but it's so dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's so dangerous because the world system is setting up trap for us. Mm-hmm. I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm talking about little crafty things that you don't even see. And in that time, something popped up. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Popped up. That's a setup, baby. There ain't no pop up. That thing, and then popping up on that computer, mm-hmm. it's a setup. It's been put in that Tupac.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we nonchalant, man, this is a pop-up, you know. And then we get there and say, I ain't gonna look at it. And so, you turn it off. Then something pop up similar to it. Then you get inquisitive. Mm-hmm. You look a little long, you shut it off quick. Then pop up again. But it's not in the same form, but it got the same message. Now you look a little long. Now you're locked in that door. Because you won't look an hour now. And I'm not going to get into this, but I just want to see what happens. I can tell somebody else don't get into it. He told you that. He told you that. That's how a thousand of people in trouble today. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what happened to them. Because he's not going to pull out the whole funk at first. Mm-hmm. It's a little stanky. Mm-hmm. But it got a little sweet fragment on it at first. So to let you know you're the good, happy, little, decent girl or boy that you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You're not really doing nothing wrong. But then he's going to add something else to it the next time you go. Mm-hmm. And something, and something. Then you find out you're good. Mm-hmm. And the only delivery you're getting out is the blood.
Right.
So, and how many people know about the blood? So that's it. Get up, all. Give me some water.